judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Now skip down to verse number 15. I'll read verse 15, and then you read responsively with me. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this place. I pray that, please, you would help us now. Lord, the message in the songs, and yet, Father, the preaching. I pray that, Father, you would strengthen us. And Lord, in an ecumenical day, give us wisdom and help us to see things through your eyes, please. And help us to avoid shipwreck and help us to stay true until you come for us. We love you tonight. Help us to love you more because of what we learn. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I'm going to use this passage of Scripture. If you'll keep your Bible open to Matthew chapter 7, I want to show you something. And I have an agenda. I have a burden tonight. I have something I want to fix. And there's nothing wrong with our church, but there is a way of thinking that I think is very damaging to the cause of Christ. And I'm going to address it. I don't want it touching our church. Here's the question. We read the passage tonight. Is it right to judge? Is it right to judge? The scriptures that we read is one of the most best known. It's one of the most important, and yet it's one of the most misapplied and taken out of context scripturally as Matthew chapter 7. I've heard it quoted more. As far as I remember, I've heard it on the TV. Judge not. Judge not. And people always read that and they'll, don't judge me. Don't judge me. And I have that to a point. I'm going to try to help with an attitude tonight. However, this teaching is very dangerous. I have never have I heard anyone say, don't judge me, that was not trying to cover up sin. I've never heard someone say, don't you judge me, who was trying to do right. I've always heard it as an explanation of, and that's the thing that first got my attention. Then I started noticing this passage. If we take a verse or part of a verse out of its setting, we can make the Word of God appear to teach the very opposite of what it really does teach. 2 Peter, we don't have time to turn to it tonight, just listen to me. It does say this in 2 Peter 3, verse 16, as in also all his epistles, talking about the Apostle Paul, speaking in them, in the Pauline epistles, of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, where we get the word wrestling, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. That scares me a little bit because you can take a verse in the Bible, twist it to mean something that it does not mean, and God says you bring God's judgment upon you by taking a verse out of context. That is a charge to me to say, be very careful, keep things in context, don't pull a section of Scripture out. I always think it's healthy when you're reading your Bible, read the verse before it, read the verse after it, and if you need to, read the chapter. But don't yank a phrase out. You know how many people I've heard justify drinking and alcohol? Doing the same thing. They are wrestling the Scriptures to their own destruction. There's over 360 curses in the Bible against booze and alcohol. And yet, I've heard Christians try to justify drinking by taking one section out, and then in their ignorance, they wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. The reason Christianity today is so apostate and paralyzed by satanic modernism is because Christians have not obeyed the command of God to judge and put away and separate from false teachers and false teaching when they first appeared. It is absolutely amazing to me as far as what people put up with on the TV. And I'll be truthful with you. I haven't heard a whole lot on the TV that's worth listening to. I didn't say that everything on TV is sinful. But when it comes to Scripture and Bible reading, do you understand, and holding to the Bible, I haven't found a whole lot that's good. Most of those guys get in over the head, they buy the TV cameras, they buy that, and then they get in, and then they got to have the money, so to get funding, well, if you just won't preach against this, but if you'll go ahead and endorse this version of the Bible, we'll give you so many umpteen hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then you start watching them change. I didn't say all of them are compromisers, I'm just saying I haven't found a whole lot on the TV that holds true. You don't find any red-hot preachers smoking against sin on the TV tube. You know why? Because it's money. It's money. When was the last time you heard a guy preaching a message against homosexuals on the TV? Probably about 30, 40 years. It's been a long time. And you probably won't either. Now I can go so far as to say this. I like our radio station, Fundamental Broadcasting Network. We can't really get it up here in Martinsburg. isn't that a blessing? However, I will say this. I haven't found a whole lot on the radio worth listening to. If you want good red-hot preaching, I have files. I can give you good sermons, good preaching. I can do that for you. And I will do. And no, it's not me preaching. Okay? I do have other pastors that I endorse. Men of God that I think hold true to the Word of God. Okay? But you don't have to go to radio and Hollywood to find good Bible preaching as far as, I mean, men that are soul winners and stick with the King James Bible. When a false teacher is found, they ought to be exposed. They shouldn't be put up with and tolerated, but in the name of judge not, nobody says anything. Well, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to pass. I don't want to pass judgment. And they're using this verse, and to me it gets frustrating. Physical health is maintained by separation from disease and germs. Spiritual health is maintained by separation from germs of false doctrine. The greatest peril in our day is not that there's too much judging going on, but that there's too little judging of spiritual falsehood. Nobody's standing up and saying, that's wrong. That's not in the Bible. You ought to shut your mouth. You ought to back down from the pulpit. There's not enough of that. There's too much. We're dealing with toleration. Toleration of homosexuals. Toleration of Islam. I'm so glad that lady's having another drawing contest of Mohammed down there in Texas. Amen?
Amen.
I'm so glad. She said, how come we have to tailor our freedom of speech to worry about whether it's going to tick off some Islamists? Well, we got to keep everybody happy. Quit trying to keep everybody happy. I love her. I love the thought. She'd get an amen from me. And if all it takes, I love this statement. I thought about that. I think the Lord gave me this. Amen. Are you ready? If all it takes to legally kill some two terrorists is to have a drawing contest to Muhammad, bless God, bring your crayons. I like that. Let's kill some more terrorists. Pull them all out of the weeds. Let's all shoot them all. I love that. That's the Marine in me, so put up with it. Okay, let's get back to the sermon. All right, ready? Everyone accepts anything that has the title Christian. Even politicians. They know to get the Christian vote and to get the Christian sector, they better put something in there about how they fear God and love God, yet they don't go to church on Sunday. They don't go to church. You can't be a good Christian and miss church. Amen? God never intended for a Christian to live outside of church. Never. Yet we're getting ready to go into the election season where we got to listen to all the garbage come out of their mouth, and I think, excuse me, borderline blasphemy, while they try to use God to get some votes that they could care less to. They don't read their Bible, they don't pray, they could care less. All they want is to be one of the elite. And I didn't say all of them are like that. I appreciate some of the conservatives, but everybody needs to understand something. Rick Santorum, I'm glad he's running, but he's Catholic. Sean Hannity's Catholic. I'm glad they're conservative. I can think of worse things. But the answer to our country is not conservative or liberal. The answer to our country is getting back to the Bible, and we need revival. We don't need, as far as we've already answered the question. Yeah, I'm sure the Democratic Party's blown it this time, but they're all in cahoots. You can't win an election unless you're one of the two. The thing's rigged. It's like NASCAR. You can't win NASCAR unless you're driving a GM. Name me one that does. It's rigged. It's stacked, is all I'm trying to tell you. And I'd like to see. I just don't like watching people use the people of God and use the Bible for, you know, to get a few more votes. God's not to be used. God is. They're supposed to be wanting to be used by God. The Bible never contradicts itself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:13 that we're supposed to compare spiritual things, the words, with spiritual things. The way I keep from taking things out of context is the Bible never contradicts itself, so this verse here can compare to this verse over here, and in doing so, I get wisdom. That's what spiritual people do. They don't take verses out of context. They compare spiritual things with spiritual things. If I look at Matthew chapter 7 real quick, I may be getting a little ahead of myself, but you're there. Watch this. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. The name of the game here, that what God's trying to get across to us is, you reap what you sow. God is not saying, don't judge or discern, and I'll get into that in just a second. God is saying, do you want to be judged by hearsay? Do you want to be judged by someone's perception? Or do you want to be judged by the Word of God? And if you judge people on what you heard, oh, well, I heard they did this. Oh, well, I think what they mean is this, so I'm going to... If you don't want to be judged that way, then don't judge others that way. That's what the verse is talking about. It's not saying don't use discernment. It is saying whatever, however you judge other people by, that is how you're going to be judged. Because the rest of verse 2 says, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That's God saying in another way, you reap what you sow. It is not saying, and if I look at verse 5, thou hypocrite. This passage is talking about, is addressed to hypocrites. It's not talking to sincere Christians that are trying to figure out if someone in the pulpit's preaching the truth, are they sticking to the Word of God? Are they measuring what is being said by the Word of God? This passage is addressed to hypocrites. Because verse 5, look at the end of verse 5. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So it's not saying you're not supposed to try to help someone who's struggling. It's not saying you're not supposed to be able to see a mote that's in a brother's eye. It is talking to hypocrites who would judge others instead of in a way that they themselves would not want to be judged. If you take the whole passage into consideration, watch what the Master is teaching us, our Savior. That's why I read verse 15. the teaching is going to end up with Matthew 7:15. Watch this. We read it, but beware of false prophets. How can you beware of false prophets and false teachers and people who say they're Christians and teach from the Bible but really have their own agenda and inwardly are ravening wolves and are looking to use the people of God to get their money? That's what it's talking about. If you're supposed to beware of false prophets, then you're supposed to be weighing carefully what people are saying from the Scripture. Here's a good test. For all this homogenized, wrapped together talk. We can talk about the Bible, but we can't apply it. Have you heard those Bible teachers on the radio? They use the Bible? Oh, they use plenty of Scripture. What are they saying? I can read to you the Bible, but how do they apply it? Have you ever heard this? You can tell a false prophet, don't listen to just what they're saying, listen to what they're not saying. Do they preach about going to church? They can't do that or it's going to affect their ratings. That ticks off people. Do they preach about the King James Bible or they just say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God? I do too. Which one? There's 83 to pick from. If you take too much of a stand on the King James Bible, they'll take more of your funding. Listen to what they're not saying. It's almost like a Joel Osteen entertainment society. You can say anything you want as long as you're positive. Just don't be negative. That's scary. Did they ever preach against sin? Did they ever get up and rip? When was the last time you heard them say, child of God, look at the sin in your life, judge it and come to an altar and kill it? You won't hear that type of preaching. And I wish some Christians would wake up. They're just like, oh, I listen to this Bible teacher, and they give so much Bible. You can feed your head without feeding your heart. And they are feeding intellect, and it's almost like our God is becoming education. If you feed my mind and stroke me intellectually, then I like you. But don't preach against it. Don't change my lifestyle. Don't tell me what I'm doing that's wrong from the Word of God. That will get you in trouble. I wish people would listen more carefully. Beware of false prophets. If I go ahead and watch this, you see verse 20, wherefore by their fruit ye shall know them. That verse is supposed to be kept in context. That's not talking about, I have the right to come up to you and say, well, if you're really saved, you'll bear fruit. And I can tell if you're saved tonight, if you're bearing fruit, because God says in the Bible, by their fruit ye shall know them. That is not what that's talking about. That's talking about false teachers. You know how I'm supposed to be judged with my Bible teaching and my preaching? What fruit does it bring forth? You may judge me because I'm a Bible teacher. Amen? I'm a pastor. But you're not supposed to judge each other and supposed to say, boy, if you're really saved, you're going to do this and this and this, and I can tell by your fruit if you're a child of God or not. That is taking that verse out of context. You are supposed to look at, that's why, if I take that verse in context, by their fruits ye shall know them. Who? Teachers. Look who they run with. Look who Billy Graham sold out to in 1954, the Catholics. Will fill your stadium, and they did, if you'll send the people back to the Catholic Church. That's why Billy Graham coined the phrase, go to the church of your choice. You're not supposed to go to the church of your choice. You're supposed to go to the church of God's choice. You're supposed to go where God wants you. Do you understand? Look at who they're running with. Look at what they stand for. And so this passage here starts with, make sure that you're judging in a proper way, then so that you can tell out false teachers. Let me go here. The Scripture, the Bible, is it right to judge? The Scripture commands us to judge. I'm going to read to you several Scripture, but I want you to go to John 7:24. Here Jesus is teaching in Matthew 7, judge not, lest ye be judged. Then in John 7:24, he's going to make this statement. Turn there because I want you to see this. John 7:24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 7:24. Watch this. Judge not according to the appearance, and I love this phrase, this is our Savior talking, but judge righteous judgment. Now wait a second, I know there's no contradiction in the Bible. I know that. Then when Jesus said in Matthew 7, judge not lest ye be judged, and then when he says in John 7:24, judge righteous judgment, then there must be something I need to look into. Because I'm commanded here to judge. I'm commanded here to judge. You go to 1 Corinthians 2:15, I'll read to you Luke 7:43. You go to 1 Corinthians 2:15, Luke 7:43 says, Jesus told a man, thou hast rightly judged. You're going to 1 Corinthians 2:15. I'll read you Luke 12:57. Jesus said, our Lord asked this question, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Jesus asked that question. How come you can't judge what's right? You're at 1 Corinthians 2:15. I wish you'd mark this verse and look at it later. Listen closely. 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. All things. God says the quality of a spiritual person is one who judges. What is the apparent? And if you ever wonder that there's a contradiction in your Bible, go to my website and download the book, 70 Apparent Contradictions in the Bible. And you'll get correct answers that won't shake your faith. Amen? If you ever think there's no contradiction in your Bible, that must mean I need to look up some words. Understanding how God uses the word judge and judgment in the Bible. The word judge and judgment means two things. Are you ready? The first, on one hand, it means to distinguish, to decide, to determine, to conclude, to try to think, and to call in question. That's one form of judge. If I'm judging, I'm distinguishing. I'm deciding and I'm calling into question what's coming my way. God wants His children to do whether preachers, teachers, and their teaching are true or false to His Word. God wants every Christian to put that to the test. Now, I'll give you the second meaning of judge and judgment in just a second. Philippians 1:19 says this, 1:9, I'm sorry. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, listen, in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Paul's prayer for the Christians at Philippi was, I'm praying that you excel in knowledge and judgment. What's that? The ability to call into question, to decide, to determine what is Bible and what is not. That is good. There's another meaning of judge and judgment. Are you ready? It means this, to condemn, to sentence, and to punish. That is God's prerogative. Do you understand? It is my job as a Christian to discern and decide and to call into question what is being taught. It is God's prerogative to condemn, to sentence, and to punish. You say, are you sure, preacher? Romans 12:19 says, what? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So to condemn and punish is God's job. For me to judge and exercise judgment, what I'm supposed to be growing in is the ability to discern. You say, are you sure? Christians are to exercise discernment, but never vengeance. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 5. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 5. I'll get to the main thing here. We're almost done with the introduction, okay? Hang on. Hebrews chapter 5. Watch closely. This is so important, and I think we're watching Christianity get watered down because nobody wants to make any calls. Look, any church with rock and roll in it is a worldly, wrong church. You don't need drums on the platform. You say, that's your opinion. God's order for music, I could take and show it to you. It's supposed to be melody, harmony, and rhythm always comes last. This is a percussion instrument, as well as a stringed instrument.
If I overemphasize the rhythm, I end up with the devil's music and a music that appeals to the flesh, and I don't care what type of words they're singing. Somebody needs to make that call. That's wrong. Well, don't judge. You're watering it down. You've watered down the old-time religion. You're taking away from... We're watching apostasy in the name of music come in. Well, if it makes me feel good... Well, they are. Are you watching them? Oh, I love that song. Oh. And then somebody said, have you heard this song? Oh, it's so pretty. And it's an independent fundamental Baptist. So I looked it up. And I was like, why would you represent a song from, and the title was from Daddy Weave. Daddy Weave. I don't know who that is. I don't care who that is. But you hear his voice and I'm like, this guy makes money singing. I am redeemed. Oh my goodness. Here, come here, Daddy Weave. Come here. You need some throat lozenges. Here, now go ahead, gargle with that. Can you sing? I am. Get away. Get off the platform. You can't sing, Daddy Weave. Okay? It's amazing to me what they're doing. Is anybody watching this? Oh, that song, though, it makes me... Don't make your judgments by feelings. Make your judgments by the Word of God. And we're watching things get watered down because nobody wants to make any calls on what's scriptural or what's not. Hebrews chapter 5, watch this. I'm going to read verse 12, verse 14 is what I want you to look at. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That means they can't apply it to their life. A babe in Christ, a baby Christian, needs someone to help them apply the Bible to their life. The older you are in Christ and the more mature you are, the more you can apply the Bible. And you don't mind applying the Bible. I need to change this. I need to do this. This is why I'm going to be changing things till I get to heaven. I have not arrived yet. I'm not a finished product. I have no problem with God convicting me when I come to church. If you're a strong Christian, you can apply meat to your life. That's you taking the Word of God and applying it. Now look at the verse 14. Ready? Well, verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Watch this, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? Discern. Same word where we get the word discriminate. You know what the word discriminate means? To choose with passion. God says, you are supposed to discern. You're supposed to discern good and evil. What is good and what is evil? Oh, I don't want to judge. Then you are a baby Christian, God says. No, I don't want to make a call. Is it in the Bible? Is it right? If it's not, then call it evil. Then that's wrong. When we don't do that as a child of God. Well, I just be careful. That type of look, I want Gospel Light Baptist Church. And I'm going to hit the attitude here in just a second. You can take this too far and destroy each other. But if we want a strong church, every child of God has to be taught. We don't talk that way here. Oh, I don't want to judge. Good, hold it in judgment. If we ever sing a song up here that's contemporary Christian music, somebody ought to stand up and come and say, preacher, I need to talk to you. Why are we doing this junk? Amen. Somebody ought to feel free to do that. I don't want to cause waves or be negative. You're supposed to discern good and evil and have your senses exercised or your knowledge of the Word of God. Listen closely. The word discern means to separate, as distinct, to distinguish and divide. A wrong idea of love and a lack of knowledge and judgment of the Word of God causes God's people often to approve things that are anything but excellent in God's sight. False teachers and false teaching. How come and I already told you, how can we beware? God gives us two standards by which we're to judge. Okay? Let me move to this point here. God gives us two standards. What are we supposed to judge by? Just if you just write these two things down, what am I judging by? Number one, God's Word. Isaiah 8:20. If they speak not according to this, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this Word, God says it is because there is no light in them. God is fire. God is judgment. God is light. God says if they tell you anything that's not in the Bible, it is because there is no light in them. If they're going against the Scripture, use the Bible. You say, I don't know the Bible. Then that's why we're reading it. You say, what else am I supposed to judge by? I'm supposed to judge by the Word of God, and I'm supposed to judge by, and we've already read the verse, Matthew 7:16, their fruits. The Word of God and their fruits. All right? Many things seem good to human judgments, which are false to the Word of God. Watch this. So you got that? There's two things we're supposed to judge by. The Word of God and the fruits of the one teaching. All right? Go to Romans chapter 16. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 16. I'm watching the clock, and we won't be much longer. Okay? Romans chapter 16. I think this verse ought to be marked in your Bible. These are verses that it's so divisive. Watch this. Romans 16. Look at verse number 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which you have learned. And you ought to have this underlined in your Bible. Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. How are you supposed to mark false teachers and avoid them when you can't pass judgment? Mark them. God says, put a mark on them. Do not listen to them. Avoid them. Well, that's divisive. And it's amazing. If I preach this message, you're a divisive pastor. You're just trying to divide. I wasn't the one causing the divisions. God says, mark those which cause divisions. They're the ones causing the divisions. They're the ones that decided for the money's sake they teach something that wasn't in the Bible. I'm not causing division by pointing out. Someone said, you're not supposed to name false teachers. You named Billy Graham. Yeah, he sold out. He sold out. He got his doctorate from the Catholic University in 1963. And he made the statement, we're only going to talk about Jesus. We're not going to talk about anything else because we can all agree about Jesus. You know who you are. Remember how he used to say that? Okay, that's my Billy Graham impression. That's as far as it goes. All right? Billy Graham sold out. I don't like what he represents. I don't want to be associated with him. He caused division. He's the one that said in Time magazine, hell has no fire. When they said, Reverend Graham, do you think hell has fire? Well, I think hell could probably be the torment of the mind of being like on an island, stuck with your worst enemy. It might be mental torment. I'm not sure that the torment is fire. God, Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. He spoke of a burning, fiery hell where souls are tormented. Well, you mentioned Billy Graham. I didn't cause the division. Billy Graham caused the division. He decided to depart from the Word of God. Paul called names. We had somebody leave our church because they were listening to a bunch of neos on the TV, and they said, you actually mentioned false teachers from the pulpit. I said, God gives me the example. I'm supposed to warn you. If I love you, I want you to stay away from false teachers. Amen? I'm not supposed to. Everything in Christianity is wonderful. And we can all just come together and have a big group hug. That's garbage. And there's nothing in the Bible that applies to that. Nothing. Nothing. So I'm supposed to use God's Word. I'm supposed to use their fruits. And Romans 16 tells me, mark them. Avoid them. Avoid false teachers. Romans 12, just listen to this real quick. Romans 12:9 says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Call them wrong. 2 Timothy 3:5, from such turn away. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, withdraw yourselves from every brother. That's a Christian that walks disorderly, not according to the Bible. I read somebody's thing and that you judged your brother. You're supposed to lift up your brother. Not if he's doing wrong. I'm not supposed to. You judged. Yeah, I did. I discerned what he was doing wasn't scriptural and it's not right. How about you can't obey any of these commands unless you discern. A strong Christian should have a love life and a hate life. A strong Christian only cares about what the Bible says. And we don't have time to cover all of that. Let me go ahead and get into the part that's really controversial. Okay? If you name false teachers and apostates who take the name of the Lord in vain, like Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, John MacArthur, Brian McLaren, and all of the stinking emergent church garbage with Dan Kimball and Eddie Gibbs, non-denominational churches and their stinking rock and roll bands, Rick Warren and all of his wicked New Age teachings and his purpose-driven garbage, John Hagee, Billy Graham, and the list goes on and on. Name them, call them, call it what it is. They departed from the Word of God. I went to lead a teenage girl to Christ, knocked on her door, she came to the thing. I said, would you like to know how to go to heaven? And she said, I didn't know you could know that. I said, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God says you can know it. This is what she said. She looked right at me and said, John Hagee said you can't know that you're on your way to heaven. I know he's pretty charismatic. He's pretty easy to listen to. He's a false teacher. He teaches things that are contrary to the Word of God. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. What else should be judged? We've gone this far. Let's not turn back. Ready? Nothing has encouraged ecumenicism like Southern Gospel. Nothing. Nothing. It's absolutely amazing. We'll listen to people sing that we would never hear preach because they do not teach right. But if they make us feel good with music, then my goodness, buy their CDs and just play their music all the time. Bill Gaither is the one who started what I'm preaching against tonight. In the 1970s, it was, now don't judge me. He was the one that coined that phrase, we don't judge here. Well, you got quite an ecumenical hodgepodge there, Mr. Gaither. You got men with long hair. God says that's shameful. Don't judge. God says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Yes. Then you got Mark Lowry and the Gaither vocal trio. He mocks so much of the Bible. I didn't say he couldn't sing. I said he mocks a lot of the Bible. No, I don't listen to Mark Lowry. He'll mock the Bible. He said, I was raised in a Baptist church and we'd preach against, you know, I heard preaching against men with long hair and how it's a shame. It's a shame that there's no air conditioning in here tonight. And then everybody stands and applauds. The word shame in your Bible means disgraceful. It doesn't mean pity or we're sorrowing that we don't have. He's making fun of the Bible. He's making fun of people who preach on standards. No, I don't listen to the Bill. I don't listen to the homecoming crowd and all that other garbage. Christian, be careful what you're letting in your home. It's watering us down and what we are as Christians. I don't see it helping the cause of Christ. All I find it do is just this emotional garbage that is leading us nowhere. No soul winning, no stand. No stand against wrong. It's not stemming the tide of evil in our country. It's not doing anything. There is no revival. There's just spooky feelings with the music. But no, I don't find any revival happening. What else is to be judged? Immoral conduct of professed believers in Christ is to be judged. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13 says, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. I'll let you read 1 Corinthians 5. What else should be judged? God says we're supposed to judge ourselves, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not of your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? I'm supposed to judge myself. I'm supposed to examine myself and make sure that I'm still preaching the book, that I didn't get sidetracked with something or some emotional hodgepodge. I'm supposed to examine. If you're a child of God, you're supposed to examine yourself too. How's your stand? Remember when you got saved? Remember when you found out how wonderful the Bible was? And you got excited about being a Christian, and then all of a sudden, now you're not as excited as you used to be when you got saved. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. God tells us to do that. What a change and what a blessing it would be if we would just judge our own faults as uncharitably as we do the faults of others. And if we would judge the failings of others as charitably as we do our own. Christians could save themselves much chastening of the Lord. What are we not to judge? So I told you what we are to judge. I told you how we're supposed to judge it. What's our judge, our system? What are we not to judge in the Bible? I have down here three things that we're not supposed to judge scripturally. Number one, we're not supposed to judge each other's scruples or values. In other words, your standards are between you and God. What you allow in your home, what you don't, is between you and the Lord. And I'm not supposed to judge your values or your convictions. Do you understand? Your convictions are between you and God. Didn't Jesus say to the disciples, "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot receive them yet"? You know what he's talking about? Christian growth. There are things that some of you, God has shown you, that you're not supposed to turn your back on. And if you aren't careful, you're going to lose ground because you're going to do this. Well, they don't have that conviction. God showed that to you. God spoke to your heart. Well, yeah, how come they don't believe what I believe? You stay true to what God has shown you. If I'm your friend, I'll always encourage you, do what God wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do. I'm not supposed to judge your values. Your convictions, what happens if they don't match mine? They probably won't. You understand? None of us will match every jot and every tittle. So don't judge each other by our scruples or our values. What else are we not? I could give you scripture on this. Let me just give you the reference. Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 10, 23 to 33, and Colossians 2. 16 and 17 speak of that. We're also not supposed to judge motives. Paul said, "I am judged of no man. With me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." In other words, you're not supposed to judge somebody's motives. I know why you did that. No, you don't. You have the art of mind reading? I don't know anybody that does. I know why you did that. You're not supposed to judge that way. That's very dangerous for a Christian to do. That's a no-no. Don't judge values, convictions, and don't judge motives. Don't do that. The Bible tells us to. You say, where's the scripture for that? That is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 5. Real quick, what's the third thing that we're not supposed to judge? We're not supposed to judge who's saved and who's not. You say, are you sure? 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." You're not supposed to ever. If somebody gives you a testimony, "I've trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior," you're never supposed to judge or condemn them for, say, "Oh, no, you're not. You can't be saved. You don't live right." You're not supposed to do that. Ever. You'll destroy people that way. God says don't do that. We're not supposed to judge values. We're not supposed to judge motives. And we're not supposed to judge whether somebody else is saved or not. Now, I will let you know this. Every once in a while, I get the heebie-jeebies. I'll watch somebody during preaching or something like that. And look, you know what I do if I think somebody's not saved? I pray for them. And then every once in a while, somebody will come forward and they'll be like, "God's been dealing with my heart and I needed to trust Christ as my Savior." And then I'll have the thought, and I've just been in the ministry a little while, and I've worked with people, and I kind of see that. But I don't, and I will. Sometimes it's like somebody will give this real weak testimony, and I will. I'll wonder if they're saved, but I don't try to talk them out of it. Do you understand? I think that's dangerous. I don't think that's good. If they're giving you a testimony, you stick with it, and then I just don't know if they're saved. Well, then shut your mouth and pray for them. Don't talk to anybody about it. You know, I don't know if so-and-so's saved. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. There's three things we're not supposed to judge. And finally, are you ready? I'm ready to wrap it up here, and I've probably gone too long. Listen closely. You have to make sure that you guard against a wrong attitude. If I take you to a verse in your Bible and watch this, I've got to be careful here. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5. You know what happens if you set Christians? Now, judge everything. Remember what the two words of judge and judgment mean? The first one is to discern, to decide, to call into question. The second one that is God's is to condemn and punish. Vengeance is God's job. It's not my job to carry out that type of judgment. You understand? Watch what happens when I think Christians get carried away. And God warns us about this. Don't let this get out of sync. Galatians 5, verse 13. Watch this. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. If one Christian gets a Pharisaical attitude, they can destroy another Christian. And that's what it says. And you'll have Christians, in other words, yes, you're supposed to be monitoring things that are coming to you. You're supposed to be interested, like the Bereans. They search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so in Acts. You're supposed to, but you're not supposed to destroy each other as a Christian. And bite and devour each other. Well, I just don't like so-and-so. I think so-and-so's wrong with this. You can destroy each other if you aren't careful. That's what it says. If you bite and devour, be careful that you don't consume each other. As a child of God, as a Christian, be careful with criticism and criticizing each other. Don't do that. I think that's someone who's taken, God tells me I'm supposed to judge. Careful. You're not supposed to be hurting other Christians with it. Let me give you a couple of points and then we're almost done. I'm referring now back to where Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. Just listen closely. Judge not. When you share your verdict that you have made as a judge, because God tells you to, when you share your verdict of the decision you've made, you prejudice yourself and you alienate people. God didn't tell me I'm supposed to publish it. I, as a pastor, am supposed to expose false teachers. That's Paul's example. Do you understand that? I'm supposed to do so. But as far as when I make a discernment, and is this right? When I make a verdict, be careful, Christian, that you don't enter into criticism. Be careful about that. Also, there's a balance here. Do you understand? Some cases do not fall within your jurisdiction. Let me give you an example. It's none of my business what goes on at another church. It's my business what goes on in Gospel Light Baptist Church. But it's really none of my business what goes on at another church. I'm not the pastor of another church. I'm the pastor of Gospel Light. Some cases are really none of your business. All it does is inflate your self-worth and your pride and your ego. Because I know what's going on at churches across the country. I don't know what's going on about churches across the country. And it's none of my business. Well, I know what's going on in fundamentalism. No, I don't either. And I hate to say it, I almost don't care. Do you understand? I care what God has given me to do here. Be careful. I don't like that critical spirit. Some things you just don't need to render a verdict over. You're not always in possession of all the evidence. Remember scriptural guidelines. Have two witnesses. Always give the accused a chance to hear and then refute. And if it's not under your authority, you should not be hearing it anyways. I shouldn't be hearing it. If now let me take this next phrase, okay? Judge not that ye be not judged. If I give a verdict over something that I have no authority over, I've crossed a line. Despite the admonition, judge not, people still give their verdict or criticize. Our Lord explains the consequences. If you choose to be the judge, hear what you shouldn't, give your verdict and offer your criticism, you can expect to have the same done to you. Right? For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. If you don't like criticism, then don't criticize. You understand? Because you reap what you sow, Christian. No one escapes that rule. That's God's rule. There is a balance here, and that's what I'm trying to give you tonight. There's things we're supposed to judge, how we're supposed to judge, but don't become a critic. If you pretend to read hearts and minds and motives and offer your verdict, expect others to do the same to you. You must not expect others. It's funny. We must not expect others to see the good in us. You know, we must not expect others to see the good in us when all we see is the evil in others. You can expect others to minimize your good and maximize your evil. How you judge, Jesus said in Matthew 7:2, will come back to you. If you do it with a vengeance, then you can expect someone to have vengeance to you. When you do it with a sharp tongue, then you can expect someone to use a sharp tongue on you. When you do it with hatred, you can expect somebody else to criticize you with hatred. Basic applications. If it's not any of your business, keep your nose out of it. People need your help, not your criticism. The old statement goes like this. Advice not sought for is often resented and rejected. If they're not asking my opinion, I've learned this. And I've got opinions. Because I'm a Baptist preacher. No, really, I do. I have plenty of opinions. But there is an art of learning to keep your mouth shut. If they're not asking for help, then most of the time, I don't offer it. Especially if they're not people that I love and pray for in our church. Do you understand? If they're not members of our church. You understand? If they're not people that God's given me the spiritual oversight of. Do you understand? I want to be very careful. Tonight you say, preacher, I did not try to contradict anything that I gave you tonight. I gave you what I'm concerned about. I gave you what I'm fearful of. And I'd like to bring things back to balance. The only people I know that use these words, I don't want to judge. I don't want to be negative. The only people I know that use that, who don't want to discern scripturally, are weak Christians. I didn't say bad people. I didn't say wicked. But they're skirting issues. Do you understand? Child of God, we live in a wonderful day. A lot of people to see saved. And my goodness, please, if you're going to be strong, you've got to learn to judge righteous judgment. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. And I pray that, please, you would help us. Lord, you've told us we're commanded to judge. We're commanded to discern. We're commanded to call to question. Help us to be careful and to get the balance. I know being critical of other Christians does not please you, but I pray that, Father, please, you'd give it.